We didn't get through the sermon last week, so you're getting last week's sermon this week. So I only highlighted a couple points. But I do want to say, can you believe summer's over? Tomorrow is the beginning of fall. Tomorrow is the beginning of fall. And so we begin all of our fall programs. And we talk about Monday night men's group or Wednesday night Bible study and Thursday night women's group and Sunday night youth group. It's so exciting to see what God's going to do in our lives. And as I think about what to preach on, I go and I pray and pray and pray, and I seek the Lord. What should we do? You know, in a church calendar, the church calendar begins with Advent. And it begins with Advent and then Christmas, and then it goes to Lent and Easter and then Pentecost and the summer, and it begins again with the fall. So for the fall program, we're going to have a series on Follow Me. And as I've been reading the gospel, and I want to encourage you to read the Bible. Don't just take my words, but read this. This is where you're going to find God. This is where you're going to find your hope. This is where you're going to find your strength. This is where you're going to find your joy. This is where you're going to find your answers, right here. I'm one of your pastors that gets to share what God says. But God's going to speak to you when you read His Word. So I challenge you to read His Word. I left a little Bible reading program back on the Seat of Faith table. I read five Psalms a day. The Psalms are for heart wisdom. John Calvin says, and the Psalms are the anatomy of all parts of the soul. Whatever you're facing, you're going to find it in the Psalms. You can maybe just read one Psalm. There also is Proverbs. I read a chapter of Proverbs. And so the day is listed. So today is the 22nd. The Psalms are Psalm 106 through 110 and Proverbs 22 because it's day 22. It's pretty easy reading plan. You read the proverb for the day of the week. So it's the 22nd, read the 22nd. But what I want to really challenge you is to read a chapter of a gospel. One chapter a day. And see what God's going to do in your life. We're studying the Gospel of Mark on Wednesday night. Mark is the shortest gospel. It's 16 chapters. If you read a chapter a day, you'd finish the Gospel of Mark in 16 days. And there's a lot of information in the Gospel of Mark. In fact, we're going to spend a lot of time over this fall reading some of Mark's passages. I'm going to teach it on Wednesday night, but I'm also going to kind of teach it a little bit on Sunday. There's some powerful words like he says immediately in the Gospel of Mark 23 times. For Mark, everything happens immediately. And he shares the stories of Jesus going from place to place immediately or doing things immediately. And I wonder, when I read the Gospel of Mark again this last few weeks, I wondered, why am I so slow to respond to God? Why don't I do things immediately? Maybe you don't struggle with that, but sometimes I do. He uses a word too, and he uses it 17 times in the Gospel of Mark, and he uses the word follow. Follow. So over the next several weeks, we're going to look at those passages where he says, follow me. And we're going to pick up in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, verse 14. We won't read the first 13 verses, but he lays out the foundation. He gives us the baptism of Jesus and how Jesus went into the wilderness. And he tells us about the beginning of the gospel. But in verse 14, he just tells us briefly, he says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. See, the good news is about God, and the good news is God. And so he tells us that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Verse 15, he says, the time has come. The time has come. the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 17. He says, come, follow me. Three simple words in Greek, and in English too. Three very simple words. Jesus sees Simon and his brother Andrew, two brothers. Simon is Peter, another name for Peter. He says to Peter and to Andrew, come follow me. And immediately, I think this translation says immediately. What does immediately mean? Right now. They didn't think about it. They didn't go, let me think about it. Maybe tomorrow. Immediately they left their nets and they followed. What a powerful statement. Immediately they left their nets and they followed. Verse 19, when he had gone a little bit farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Bob Russell is a pastor, a teacher, a writer, and he shares a story. You probably haven't read any of his books. He's got some really good books. He shares a story about when he went to go visit his son, Rusty. And Rusty just bought a new car, one of those really fancy cars. And he was showing his dad all about the car. And it had the new type of speedometer where you could go either miles per hour or kilometers per hour. Maybe some of you have those kind of cars. And he was showing his dad the car, and he couldn't figure out how to change it from the kilometers to the miles per hour. And they were playing with it and trying to figure it out. And of course, they're just like men. They never read the directions, right? And so they were, then they said, well, let's take the family for ice cream. And the family was so big, he says, Dad, we're going to have to take two cars. He says, you follow me, and we'll go to the ice cream place. And so they hopped in the cars, and Bob says he's following his son, Rusty, and they're driving down the street, and he looks in his rearview mirror, and there's a police officer with the lights, you know, going and the siren going. So he pulls over, and the officer says, you wait here while I go with the man ahead of you. Because Rusty stopped, too, because he thought his dad was being pulled over. And so the police officer goes up to Rusty's car, and he says, now you're going to think this is a line, but I just bought this car, and I really don't know how fast I'm going because it's in kilometers and not miles per hour. And the officer said, you were doing 58 in a 45. And then Rusty said, and he says, so was the man behind you. And Rusty said, well, that's my dad, and he doesn't know where he's going. And I wonder, what happens when we follow someone and we don't know where we're going? Jesus said, follow me. And in our culture, it seems like we follow a lot of things, or a lot of news things, or a lot of things that we think we should follow. And where is that taking us? Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. In verse 14, he says, the time has come. And I briefly talked about that. But what he's saying is, I know the time. I know what you're going through. I know where you're at. I know that you're waiting for maybe doctor reports, or you're waiting for this, or you're waiting for that. What Jesus wants to say, the time has come. And then he says, the kingdom of God is near. And in the context of that, he's saying, the rule, the reign, of God is at hand. God wants to not be out here, way out here. He's saying God wants to be right here. He wants to rule here. He wants to rule here. The rule, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he says this really hard word, repent. Repent. And we talked briefly about what repent means, and it means, actually in the Greek, it means to change your mind or to change your direction. It's like if Bob Russell is going down the road this way, he should have stopped and turned around and gone the other way. That's what repentant means, to turn around and go the other way. Mark Galley, who writes for Christianity Today, wrote a really interesting article. I'm going to read part of it. But on October 31st in 1517, Martin Luther posted 95 theses or 95 questions. We're coming up on it, and we celebrate Halloween right after All Saints Day. But on October 31st, he nailed 95 questions on the door of the Wittenberg Castle, and he was the professor of moral theology at the University of Wittenberg. In 1517, and he says, I'm going to put these questions up there so that the church could debate what's going on in the church. And really what he wanted to do was, what was going on in the church is they were selling what they called indulgences so that people could be forgiven of their sins. They didn't have to repent. That means to turn around and stop sinning. They could just pay some money and keep on doing what they're doing. Well, Luther didn't think that was what repentance was. And he wanted to debate what repentance was. In fact, Luther said, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said repent, willed that the whole life of the believer should be repentance, not just the pocketbook or the giving of the offering. You see how easy it would be if we just said, I can go to church and offer up my money, but keep on doing what I'm doing. Now, I know I'm stepping on toes, because repentance is a hard thing, to stop going in one way and turn around and go in another way. Galley notes that the repentance is unpopular because we're addicted to justifying our own actions and pointing out, you know, what's wrong. He says, if we really looked at our own self-centeredness and pride, Galley argues, I'd have to admit that I'm the biggest hypocrite. Now, he's a writer for Christianity Today. But the truth is, we all wrestle with that, repentance. He concludes, precisely why Jesus came to save the world from itself and to save us from ourselves. That's why the word repentance is usually connected to the phrase good news. He says, I have come to bring the good news. The good news is the gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are the gospels. If you read the good news one chapter a day, you could probably go through all four gospels pretty close before the end of the year. You would have a lot of good news. What would happen if we opened up the Gospels and not turned on the TV and looked to see what was happening on all the news stations, whatever news station you listen to? Most likely the news station is not good news. The good news in the Gospel is about God, but the good news is God. Did you hear me? The good news is God. God so loved the world, that's good news. That he sent his one and only son, that's good news. When Jesus started his ministry, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went around Galilee. I think I have a map up here of Galilee. Okay? So Jesus is from the town of Nazareth. This little town. And he goes up to the Sea of Galilee, and he goes to, you see where it says Bethsaida? Bethsaida, it's two Greek words, bathys house, and seda is a fish. It's the house of fishermen. Okay, Bethsaida is probably a town of about maybe 400 people, 300 people. It's a small town. I don't know if you've ever grown up in a small town, but everybody knows everybody and everybody's related to everybody. So Jesus goes up to the north side of the Sea of Galilee to Bethsaida, and he sees Peter and Andrew on the seashore. Most likely their boat is right there. And let me explain too. In those days, rabbis would go through those towns and they would pick the best and the brightest of the young boys and take them to be their disciples. And if you weren't the best and if you weren't the brightest, you went into your father's business. So here's Peter and Andrew, who weren't picked by the rabbis that came through town. And then all of a sudden, they're working in their father's business, casting their net every day. And here comes along this guy. And they'd heard about him from John the Baptist. And he comes walking around the seashore to Bethsaida, the house of fish. And he says to them, "Come follow me." Three words. And he says, "Come follow me." And it says immediately, they left their nets. They weren't the best. They weren't the brightest. They weren't the ones that were selected by the rabbis. I think maybe just stop for a moment and think, maybe you think God has forgotten about you. God doesn't know where you're at. God doesn't know what you're struggling with. I think God knows exactly where you're at. And God knows the time for you to come and follow him, to go into his good news. And I think this fall is that time for you to come follow Jesus. He says, "Come follow me." And then he goes a little bit farther along the seashore and he calls two more brothers, James and John. They're in their, it says in the gospel, in the good news of God, it says they're in their father's boat with their father. And he says to James and John, "Follow me." Now, if we were reading the gospel of John, we would find that Philip, probably a cousin to James and John or Peter and Andrew, Philip's from Bethsaida. He picks Philip too. Five of the 12 disciples come from the little town of Bethsaida. I think you have to see, five of the 12 helped turn the world upside down. Five of the 12 turned the world upside down. I think I put it in my notes. Maybe I didn't. I did. Peter goes to Rome. And John becomes the bishop at Ephesus. And Andrew went as far as Russia. They were kind of nobodies from nowhere. Maybe we feel that way sometimes. And all of the disciples went out and changed the world. So my challenge to you this week, as we come to our So What, as we begin our fall series, and we're going to look at a lot of passages where Jesus says, "Follow me." I want, and I might have the So What up here, I want you to hear the words of Jesus for you. What is Jesus asking you to do? What is Jesus asking you to become? What is Jesus asking you to believe What is Jesus asking you to hope? Not what Pastor Dave, no. What is the good news? The good news is God, and the good news is about God. What is the good news saying to you? I get 20 minutes on Sunday morning to talk about the good news. That's not really a lot of time in your whole week. So what does God want to say to you? Remember Bob and Rusty? They had no idea how fast they were going. They really didn't. They had no idea how fast they were going. Bob knew exactly how fast this car was going because he could see it. He was doing 58 in a 45. And he still got pulled over. Sometimes we can see what we're doing, and maybe we should stop, turn around, and go in a different direction. Our choices every day help us decide how fast we're going to go or in what direction we're going to go. So your so what is this. As we begin the study, I want you to hear the words of Jesus as if they were spoken to us. I want us to hear them new and fresh each and every morning. Follow me. Maybe, you know, Jack sings, we've sung this little song, Good Morning Jesus, come in my heart, help me make a brand new start, be with me all through the day, help me do things all your way. And then we put on the armor of God. What is God asking you to do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we give thanks for this day, for your great love. And Lord, help us to hear, help us to have ears to hear, help us to have eyes to see, help us to have a heart that's open. Help us to have feet that are prepared to follow. Help us to have hands that are prepared to help. Lord, use us to change the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing our closing song.